Jane Kansas was a creator, creator of zines, creator of plays, radio. For several years, she was a regular voice here on CBC Radio, including the national programs This Morning and Sounds Like Canada. She wrote for The Coast and The Daily News. She had a show on CKDU. She was an enormous fan of Harper Lee and To Kill a Mockingbird. And I think it's fair to say she was an adventurer in light of the huge cycling and walking trips that she took throughout the United States, where she was born. Born in Wichita, Kansas. But Jane grew up mostly in Ontario, in Ottawa. In the mid-1980s, she moved here to Nova Scotia and opened the queer-friendly eatery Debbie's Dinette in Hubbard's, and then moved into Metro, where she was involved in the 2S LGBTQIA activism. Jane Kansas died yesterday as a result of chronic kidney disease. That is according to an obituary posted on her Facebook page. We're going to remember her with Tara Thorne, filmmaker and author who knew Jane for more than two decades. But first, to demonstrate just how instinctive storytelling was for Jane, this is something that, to the best of our knowledge, certainly best of Alex Mason's knowledge, it never ever went to air. This is Jane doing a sound check with a guest in the late 1990s. Now, keep in mind, please, the point of a sound check is to get the guest talking. But in this case, the guest asks Jane how she is doing, and off she goes in what some people will recognize as classic Jane Kansas.
And if we could just get a sound level from you, Mr. McDonald.
How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm fine, except I'm a little sleepy, but usually I get up quite early, but I'm still feeling sleepy because the milk was all sour at home, so I had to use Coffee Mate, which is okay if you don't, you know, you've got to think of Coffee Mate as something entirely different. Don't classify it as milk, and then you're fine. Kind of like Nescafe. Nescafe is great if you don't consider it coffee.
Jane Kansas, sound checking herself, I guess, and also being wise and witty and off the cuff as she was so often. Tara Thorne, I am so, so sorry for the loss of your friend.
Thank you, Jeff.
What were you thinking right now, listening to that sound check?
I was thinking about how people use the word iconic wrong all the time.
Hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, Sydney Sweeney's an icon. It's like, no, she's an actor. She's been in three things. Jane Kansas was an icon. And you're seeing that today as the, you know, all over Halifax internet, however you want to call it, the fact that I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah.
She was so loved and entrenched in a city that's losing those people. And, you know, we're never going to see a mind like that again in this town.
And what was it, Tara, that made her iconic? What was it about that mind?
She was so sharp and so witty, and you thought she hated everything, but the truth was she loved everything, and you thought she hated people, but she loved people. If you go back into her writing and you see how observational it is, how thoughtful it is, how emotional it is, even though she outwardly might not be, you'll just be struck by the way that she views humanity. And she was so, so, so funny, and had, you know, the filthiest mouth. and a conversation with her was a whirlwind. You know, when I worked at, we worked at the Coast, she would just walk in off the street and kind of do a monologue and leave. And it was incredible.
Was that just her? Was she performing? You know, sometimes people can be tiring because they're always on, but was this just her? Did it just come out of her effortlessly?
I mean, I feel like she would be upset with me if I said it was effortless, because I don't know. Don't know that it was. You know, and I think she was off and on like that. Like, you could just kind of set her off. And sometimes, you know, it blew up in your face. But I could always, I could tell when it was off. And I think that was the thing about Jane. You know, she would disappear for a long swath of time. You wouldn't hear from her, and it's because she had been sick, or she had been sad, or she just wasn't able to kind of be in the world in the way that we needed her to be, or like we're used to seeing her. So, you know, it really she was off and on, but when she was off, you could tell.
Tom Fitzgerald wrote this about Jane on the Halifax Rainbow Encyclopedia. This is Tom here. Quote, has anyone ever worked so inventively to prepare us for their eventual passing? Jane Kansas's three Fringe Festival shows, My Funeral, The Dry Run, my favorite Fringe show of all time, that's Tom Fitzgerald saying that, My Dead Dad and My First Heart Attack, were creative explorations of inevitability. She wanted us to see the funny in it. So that's Tom Fitzgerald about Jane Kansas. When Jane did her Fringe show, My Funeral, in 2014, she dropped in here to talk to then-host Stephanie DeMatt. Let's just hear a minute and a bit of that conversation, Tara.
Why have you spent so much time thinking about your funeral?
You remember Red and Andy and Shawshank Redemption? They're sitting by the stone wall, and Red is saying that Andy should just accept he's in prison and he'll never get out. And Andy says hope is a good thing, and you got to get busy living or get busy dying. And really, for whatever reasons, I've been a person who's been busy getting ready to die. And as I age and people, I've been downsizing. I've been doing all kinds of things to get ready for the big 5-0.
The big 5-0.
Yeah.
Isn't it a bit morbid?
It can be. I don't think of it as morbid. Sometimes I think of it in a very cheery, jolly way and like, thank God, that will be over, and I can go. It's like I've been at a party that I don't feel very comfortable with. And people say, oh, you're so outgoing, you're so funny. And that's only part of it, as with anybody else.
So to what degree is this you getting a jump on the work of planning a funeral, you know, picking the songs and the readings and so on?
Well, yeah, I've been picking songs for years. My first playlist was when I was in my teens, late 60s. It was right off what it charted on the Billboard. I'll give you a few of them.
If you would.
Ode to Billy Joe, Inagada De Vida, Sunshine of Your Love, Whole Lot of Love. And then the selections changed
it has
over the years.
Somewhat?
Yes, I'm not sure if they've matured, but they have changed a bit.
Tara, there's a lot in there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of her saying that she'd been getting ready to die? Is that something that you saw?
Yeah, I mean, because I can relate in a way because she wrote something. She's written so much that I couldn't point you to where she wrote this, but she said something like, "I don't like life very much." So yeah. I think. Which is a hard thing, I think, for people to hear because it's not about suicidal thoughts or anything like that. It's just like life is harder for some people and it's not always great to be here. So, you know, I had a podcast for a couple of years and Jane came on my show and she did, My First Heart Attack. And she talked about how when she had her heart attack in 2020, she was in the hospital for 170 days and she didn't have her in it to do it again.
Yeah.
And it didn't tweak me at the time, but considering, you know, how she went, I thought, yeah, it was, she couldn't do it again.
I'm sorry, Tara.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry. In relation to Pride, and on behalf of causes related to us LGBTQIA people, what was her role? What kind of activist was she? What kind of activism did she do?
Jane was a foundational activist in the queer community here. And, you know, she was gay when it wasn't okay, especially in a conservative place like this. And, you know, if there was an issue, she showed up for it. If there was a parade, she went to it. She was loud. And I mean, this is such a cliche, but she was loud and proud. And it was so important to her and so integral to her identity. And, you know, she was doing it in a time when people wanted women especially to shut up and not make a big deal. But she, you know, she supported queer people all the way through her life. And they did for her as well. And I think, you know, she helped to found a community here that I think definitely will. Because I'm seeing in the past 2 days just like how large she looms. That, you know, people are going to remember what Jane did.
And I understand when you interviewed her for the about her activism for the Coast podcast, rather, she showed up with a list of suggested questions. So
yes, we were like, let's talk about 1996. She's like, okay, here's my roadmap. Here's my question. I want to mention these seven people, right. And then she just told us this amazing story about going to Washington for a march, and it's like 20 of the best minutes you'll hear in your life.
Now we have one more clip here of Jane in the Main Street studio. This is from 2009. And we've left Stephanie's introduction on the tape for context here. So here we go.
Well, Jane Kansas may be wondering if I deliberately bumped this next story from our program the past couple of days just to settle a score with her. I did not. We genuinely ran out of time. Twice. If you haven't heard about this yet, Jane dropped by our studio a couple weeks back to weigh in on our discussion about weird expressions and strange catchphrases. And as we were settling down in the studio, she did something that pushed one of my buttons. My husband, as I explained on Tuesday, is a guy who leaves his chewed up gum everywhere. And as we were about to talk, Jane took her gum out of her mouth and put it on our studio table, right on the table, no hanky to cushion its landing. Can I get a yuck, people? So I chastised her, but just a little bit, and then she launched into a bit of a diatribe of her own about things other people do that drive her up the wall. Quite a list, as it turns out, and it really struck us as so funny, we figured we just had to put it on the air. So here's Jane unloading. Now, Bill had just hit the record button, so we join her mid-sentence.
It drives me nuts. It really shouldn't drive people nuts at all. Are in public, if I see people scratching lotto tickets in public or coming out from the photo developing place and sitting in the bench in the mall looking at their photographs, those two things really, really, they just, it's like zero at the bone. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard when I see someone scratch a lotto ticket in public. Do it in private, for God's sake.
Why?
I don't know. There's just something about the pathos of buying lottery tickets, and I include my own patheticness as a lottery purchaser. But watching them, like, exercise it in public, for God's sakes, go home, eat your liter of ice cream by yourself, which is the way that I do it, and then scratch the lotto ticket. Don't let us, the rest of us, see it.
And what's the thing with the photos?
I don't know. It's just something like it's like people who sit on the beach, you know, on Corfu reading their tour guide to Greece. Like, you're right there. Close the book, put your photographs away and look around and see all the little things that can make life worth living, you dipshit, if you live in the past all the time. It's like if you drive all the time looking in the rearview mirror, looking at your old photographs, you're going to crash sooner or later.
And yet somebody taking something out of their mouth and just leaving it lying around doesn't bother you at all.
Well, it does if you do it, and don't ever try and eat food off my plate in a restaurant. I once had to slap Jane Wright, the owner of Jane's on the Common. We were in a greasy spoon somewhere, and she was buying me breakfast, and she would not keep her fork off my plate.
Well, she bought it.
And I had to slap her hand, and if you ask her about it now, years later, she'll tell you that I went into a rage. All I did was slap her hand. Really, it was only a tap.
You didn't go after her with your fork?
Yeah, but you see, I'll tell you what this gum
don't
thing...
Don't brandish that at me.
This gum thing, you know what it comes from? Living alone.
Speaking of pathos.
Tara, again, so much in there.
So much. When she said, and I include my own patheticness as a purchaser of lottery. Like, that's the kind of thing it's hard to put into words, where you're just like the cadence and the storytelling elements of just talking to her. And that was just her talking. As we all know,
but there's some profound stuff in there. You know, it's like driving, looking in the rearview mirror. Like,
yeah,
that
I
resonates.
Yeah, it really does. It all feels very prescient now, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Did she drive looking in the rearview mirror?
I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, the three plays she did, those were key events in her life, and she told me that she did that so she could figure out how to digest them. You know, I don't think she came from the therapy generation. I think she was always looking forward. I heard she was looking. She was looking at cruises for the new year. You know, just recently.
Yeah.
So I do think she, as much as life, you know, was tough for her sometimes, she did know how to to appreciate the tiny, you know, beautiful parts.
If we could talk just in closing, we have about 2 minutes left here, but about her activism again. The Rainbow Encyclopedia, Halifax Rainbow Encyclopedia, says that she was instrumental in moving the location of the Pride after parade reception from what they call the cold, dank, windowless rumors to outdoors, out in the open, out in the public, Sackville Landing. How many other ways did she move things out into the open?
Oh, I mean, just you do that by being yourself. And I think it's a hard, it's like, it sounds so easy, but when the world doesn't want you to be that, when the city doesn't want that, when it's just easier for people to be hidden, and we see this all the time, and we're seeing the reaction to that now with, you know, everyone's like coming out as their full selves now, and we're not used to that, and it's scary to people, but it's so integral, and it's so important, and all you need to do is show someone who doesn't feel seen that they're not alone. And it's so key to, it's the key to all movements really, but especially the queer movement. And I think Jane was so, I don't think she ever hid. I really don't. Mm. And that is, you know, if that's her legacy, that's amazing. But she has all these other things too. And Jeff, I hate to be like, I want to plug a thing, but I do want to tell people to read. There's a blog that I hope stays up. It's Jane's travelogues from four Christmas eras that she spent in Tampa, Florida. It's called KansasInFlorida.com. It's some of the most beautiful writing you'll ever read. Kansas. And I dug through it all today, and I highly recommend it.
KansasInFlorida.com.
That's right.
Tara, once again, I am so, so sorry for you and for the city.
Me too, Jeff, and thanks so much for the opportunity to chat about it.
You bet. It's good to hear your voice.
Likewise.
Tara Thorne is a writer and filmmaker. Jane Kansas died in Kentville yesterday. The holidays can be a juggling